Welcome to another episode of Football Is Wife. I'm Leslie Ryder here with my wife, Emily Anderson.
That's me.
She's here. And we are here.
Where are we?
We are 1 week after the NCAA tournament. We are in the NWSL season.
We are post She Believes Cup.
She believes we are post the She Believes Cup. We are in a beautiful time to be following women's sports.
That's true. I'll give you that.
I'll take it. I'm just happy to be here. I'm just glad people
just happy to be here.
Are talking about it, even if some folks might be talking a little too much about it after saying stuff that they shouldn't have said for many years, but now they're happy. You know what? Welcome to women's sports. Everyone is welcome, but don't be a dick.
But also, you're welcome, but shut up for a little bit. quick timeout, wife. Can you turn your mic down or something? Because you're popping and clicking a lot. You're loud.
I'm loud, she says.
Well, and you're, like, clipping. So
is this better?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's your mic, but yeah.
Okay,
time in. What are we going to talk about today?
We have so much to talk about today. We have the aforementioned record-shattering Final Four weekend and She Believes Cup. And we're going to take a look at the U.S. Women's National Team and the NWSL.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. You know, broadly.
I don't know if we have... We don't have this anywhere else. Maybe? NWSL is back. Something. No, we don't have it in the agenda, so I'm talking about now. We're going to Wrigley! That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. I know there has been, like, conversation in the past about, like, or, you know, we're not going to play soccer on a baseball field, but, like, this is, I think there's a difference between a AAA field in Tacoma and Wrigley Field. Like, that, I'm going to go out on a limb and say that grass is pampered.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think the grounds crew at Wrigley has a pretty good handle on stuff. I hear the concerns about field and field shape, and Lord knows we've seen bad versions of this. I am going to withhold judgment until I know more, because we don't know it's going to be bad. And I'm trying to be, I think there's a thing called optimism. I think I'm trying it out.
Optimism. Can you use that in a sentence?
I am optimistic, or I am using optimism to believe that the field at Wrigley is going to be good. No one wants players to get hurt. No one wants, you know, that to be a bad setup. I think we have the connection strong enough at Wrigley from the Red Stars, but we should say it. Like, it's the Red Stars versus Bay FC. June 8th at Wrigley Field. I can't believe I remembered all those details.
I know.
Please clap. Well, it's the day after my birthday, so that helps.
There you go.
Also, if anyone from Bay FC is listening by chance, if I could get one of those jackets on that day, that'd make it for a good birthday. We're taking shots of Malort, I guess. shout out to the 134. Apparently we're taking shots at Wrigley on that day, so that'll be bonkers.
You can take shots of Malort. That's I've done my time of taking Malort shots.
What I want for my birthday is you to take a shot of Malort.
That hurts. That is a harmful way to use that ticket.
Well, here we are. But I think it's gonna be good for the Red Stars. The SeatGeek is not a bad stadium. But it is far away.
Yeah, like it is a good size of a stadium. I think its capacity is pretty good for
like 15,000. I think.
Yeah, maybe 12. for where it is. Yeah, like it holds more than Kansas City Stadium. It has like a second tier on one of the sides, so it's like theoretically they could fill the stadium, but it's kind of out of the way for people who live.
It's very out of the way for most people. Even if you're in the suburbs, it's out of the way. Like, we're as close as it gets, I think, for most folks who are making the trip week in, week out. I don't know anyone who makes the trip on a regular basis who lives closer than we do.
That's fair.
Not to say I've talked to everyone, but either way, having something in the city will be cool, accessible by public transit. Yeah, accessible by public transit. Like, it's just going to be a good day. It'll be cool. What a cool place to get to play. Like, we're baseball fans, so we're just, I'm sorry, we're going to be excited about it until someone gives me a very foundational, like, concrete reason not to be.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think having Laura Ricketts in a position of ownership in both organizations, she's going to want to make it look nice. Like, I think what we have experienced so far is that she cares about how this will go. And, you know, I'll take that. I will take it.
That's what I want of someone in charge. I want them to care about how it's
going. I want an owner to care and open up the wallet and say, make it nice.
Or open up, I guess, like, who technically owns the team? Like, your family's wallet? Because you can kind of get some of that money out of the other side, too. thanks for the family discount, Wrigley Field. I don't know how that works, but yeah. That'll be cool. That'll just be our second trip ever to Wrigley. And much nicer weather, in theory. So
yeah, I look forward to it being warm in June, but I'm not going to write that in stone.
No, it's Chicago. It could snow. We don't know. All right, let's get into our actual agenda here.
You know, speaking of, I'm not going to land this plane. We're going to the Final Four.
We are going to the Final Four?
In terms of conversation.
Okay. I was like, I think we missed it, babe.
Like, yeah, let's get on with it, she says while interrupting me.
Well, you still are taking your dang time today.
It was a good game. It was a good weekend of games. The viewership records just falling one right after the other as the tournament went on was just fantastic. And it made me really happy to see the conversation go to the women's side. You know, there were some dumb things said, but overall, I think this is something we can be happy about. South Carolina finishing an undefeated season was something that I think they could have talked more about. I feel like that was an important point. Like, this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for South Carolina, and they said, watch this. Like, I think...
Much like the Chicago Red Stars. I mean, I do think we heard way more about Iowa and even UConn and stuff than we did about Dawn and the incredible program there and the incredible feat of having an unbeaten regular season into and then winning the whole thing. That's insane. Do you know how much like mental fortitude and like skill and also just a little bit of luck, let's all be honest.
Sure.
Like that takes. That's crazy. No matter how it plays out, it's still a remarkable occurrence, and I don't think we remarked on it enough.
No, and I think there's the video of Paige Beckers taking the I think it was like the best women's basketball player award at the ESPYs from 2021, I want to say, and she used her speech to be like, hey, people who look like me often get the attention, but we need to spread that around. And I think there's a moment happening here where the WNBA is finally marketing the product that is coming to them. Caitlin Clark has had an effect on WNBA. The Indiana Fever have like sold out of their season memberships. Teams are trying to move their games against Indiana into bigger venues. Like it's without a doubt, she's had an effect on the league. I think it's probably frustrating for a lot of people who have been watching for a long time to see that, oh, now we're going to promote things. Now we're going to market. Okay.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that is absolutely fair. I also think there was always going to be a moment, an event, a player, something that turned the page. That's usually how these things happen. And yeah, there are people who I think it could have been before, but also Caitlin Clark's not a bad one for it to be. It's not happening for a bad reason. And I think we should be happy about that. And she is caring. I think Dawn talked about this in her speech. Caitlin Clark is carrying a lot of responsibility and a lot of weight on her shoulders as kind of this herald of women's basketball. And that's not easy. And I think she is gracious enough to be in that position and to not, you know, mess it up terribly. I'm sure there will be stumbles and everything, but it could be a lot worse. And so I'm sorry, my voice keeps going. It could be a lot worse. So I think maybe we be appreciative that, hey, the league's about to get a big influx. That also means all those other players are going to get paid, right? I think Kim McCauley made this point the other day of like, hey, you know, as much frustration as people might have with all the attention on Caitlin Clark, it means that in 2 years, everyone's going to be making like four times as much as they are right now. So it's going to be a good thing.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that the league can kind of use Caitlin Clark as a Trojan horse of like, hey, look, there's Caitlin Clark, but look, her teammate, Aaliyah Boston, remember her? I'm really, really hopeful that we can make that happen. And I think now that we have all these eyes on the league, I think the pressure is going to be on to really push expansion, push roster expansion, make more opportunities for players, because people are falling in love with these players during March Madness, and the tournament's over and there's only so many spaces in the league.
Yeah. And like, to your point, I think there is that Trojan horse, not only for Indiana, which an aside, it is really weird as a kid from Indiana to hear this many people this excited about like Indiana Fever basketball. I cannot believe it. It is very strange, but I do hope that folks, you know, on the road, or when the Fever are on the road, come out to see Caitlin and realize what a great experience a WNBA game is. It's a party every time.
It really is.
I've never been to a WNBA game and had a bad time. Even when we didn't get there until like late in the second quarter because
good
we
God.
Couldn't get around
the most stressful drive of my life trying to get to LA Live on a Sunday when there was a surprise parade. Oh my God.
Leslie almost lost her mind that day. our first game in LA, and that was a good time. Who did we end up sitting by?
We ended up sitting next to David Diggs and Chinaka Hodge. That was awesome.
What up? Yeah, that alone made up for it real fast. We're like, oh, cool. We will be very cool as musical nerds. We're just going to be super chill now. It was a good time. But anyway, okay. Yeah, I'm hoping folks come out and realize like, oh, I should come back to this more often. This is a good time. And to your point, that brings in money. That brings in, hopefully, expansion. Alternately, I'm kind of wondering if they don't figure it out soon, is someone going to start another basketball league for women? Like,
I don't think they're going to try to start another league, but I think you're going to hear more of like Ice Cube, who was like, I'm going to pay Caitlin Clark $5 million to join the Big Three. Like, you're going to hear that noise.
Yeah. Well, or even, yeah, like a 3-on-3 league by whoever as like an interim to the league or something, like a G League type thing, because you've got more supply than you have, like, or I guess we've got more demand than we have supply right now for spaces. And that's gotta get fixed, and they needed to start fixing it years ago.
Yeah.
And no, now we're reactive.
We're gonna explore expansion for a few more years, and
Hey, Kathy.
Committee is still searching, and we're innovating and disrupting and really synergizing the women's basketball space, and we're really excited for what's to come.
Kathy.
Speaking of exciting, the vets are waiting for her for Galen Clark. Diana Taurasi, okay. Diana Taurasi is a very talented basketball player, but she is also a stone cold villain in the league.
She's a bully in the best way.
Folks were trying to call Caitlin Clark a villain, and it was just like, she'll learn what a villain is when
people
when
are trying to call Angel Reese a villain, and I'm like, no. Guys, we got one of those already.
We've got villains at home. Dejanay Carrington of the Connecticut Sun asked for welcome to the league stories, and Diana Taurasi was in a lot of them. She's the one who, well, if you think, oh, I got this, I'm gonna go around her and she'll just drive a shoulder through you. I think folks are gonna be a little taken aback, but then they'll see who the referees really favor in the league.
Yeah, I also think, like, there were folks talking about how the vets or DT were, like, coming specifically for Caitlin Clark or whatever. And I was like, no. She does this to everyone.
Yeah, don't feel special.
Yeah, no, this is how she keeps going however many years now she's been in the league. Like, she relishes this. This is what gets her amped for a new season again. It's just like, ooh, fresh meat, let's go.
That's why she hasn't retired yet, because there's always a new freshman for her to get.
Exactly. It's a good time. I cannot believe how quick the turnaround is. Like, the draft is this Sunday, and then
Monday,
league start Monday, and then the league starts in a month. Like, that's too stressful.
Yeah.
I do think it'll be good for this, like, tidal wave of attention to be able to carry right into the W.
Yeah.
But... oh, that's a stressful few weeks. But meanwhile, Dawn Staley and Asia are over in Paris, living it up with Nike. So I hope they're enjoying this, like, breather while they've got it.
Speaking of stress, the She Believes Cup was this week, and we had three out of four games go to penalties.
Yeah, that's too many. I'll talk about that later, but. It is interesting because it's a tournament where you don't do extra time, but...
but yeah. Still, that would have been three games going to extra time.
Yeah, and a lot of the times if you go to extra time, you go to penalties. I don't know what the odds are on that. That is something I will look up.
Yeah, it still feels extraordinary.
But, yeah. It's too much, and all these players have other teams, other, like, things to do, so I'm just like, can we not do extra football right now? Great, yeah, thanks.
I'm in favor of going straight to penalties.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I have such mixed feelings about it.
No, we have a deeper dive on penalties coming later in the show. But for now, let's talk about the good. Katarina Macario, Mel Swanson, back on the field for the U.S. Women's National Team.
Back what a time. On the field. That was very nice. It's nice to see. Mel has repeatedly talked about how, like, the mental part of coming back hasn't really been an issue for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's an issue for me. Every time I watch her, I'm anxious.
Yeah.
And she took a knock kind of at the end of the game there and was getting up slowly. And I think she was just being cautious and, like, you know, walked off under her own power. Nothing there that made me really, really worry.
Yeah, and, like, but, she's not listed in the injury report. So if anything, like, if we don't see her this weekend, they're probably just being like, yeah, we're just giving her a break.
Yeah, but, yeah, I'm glad Mal's not nervous, but I'm nervous.
Extremely.
And I will try not to let that be felt by her, because I don't want to be a bad influence, you know.
Well, no, it's that thing when a player you enjoy watching gets injured and they come onto the field, you become their mother a little bit, and every single challenge they go into, you just go, oh,
yep, and I go, oh, buddy, are you okay? No, camera, go back. Is she up yet? Is she up? No, okay.
That was too hard. Where's the foul? Like,
be nice. Yeah, Cavicario, great to see her back, my good friend. No, but she's had kind of a longer recovery, I feel like, than
a much longer recovery.
But I hope that means it's a thorough one, you know? Yeah. I, especially at her age, take the time. Yeah. Don't rush it. And so it's good to have her back and into this lineup and kind of what we were seeing during this tournament. Whew, that's fun. That is a fun time.
Yeah, I think it's good to see her back. It's good to see everyone just back together again and in one piece. And that is something that I would like to keep until we get through the Olympics.
Yeah, I don't know how we put, like, I don't know, some sort of protective charm on everyone. A spell. Do you know any witches?
Not since we moved from LA. I feel like now that we're in the Midwest, we've kind of, we're a bit removed from witchcraft and sorcery.
That's true.
Although, you know, Midwest witches, let us know.
Yeah, let us know where you're at. And if you can, you know, do some protection of everyone, honestly, everyone, that would be great. What about the bad?
I don't know about like the bad, but like I think there
you have it labeled in the doc as the bad.
So I know, I do. I had to put something there. I think there's a surprising lack of depth in the U.S. midfield. Like I was trying to make my 18 for the Olympics, and I'm looking at like the midfielders that they've had listed, and I'm just like, it's not really enough.
Sky and Silves have been talking about that. I feel like, about the lack of depth in the midfield.
Yeah.
So why are you surprised?
Because like it's one thing to see it in the games, and you kind of get used to like the names that are called in, and you get a little numb to it. But yeah, there's a lack of depth. There's a lack of lack of chemistry. I think we didn't really see it this time because Roosevelt wasn't here because she's injured again. Whenever you have Lindsay Horan and Rose Lavelle playing at the same time, it just it never turns out well, and I don't know if they've figured out what that is. But also, we saw the U.S. get beat on pretty much the same play in two different games, and they're gonna be up against like if they keep getting beat like that, Zambia's gonna cook them in their
yeah, that'll be interesting.
I don't know what about the defensive pairing, or if it's just miscommunication, or if someone's going up too deep and not coming back, but mayhaps we need some more speed.
Could be. I mean, usually on that left side, though, is Crystal Dunn, who has plenty of speed.
But she wasn't, I don't think she was on the field for either of those.
No, I don't think so either. And also, though, maybe we put her in the midfield, guys. Maybe a concept. I don't know if anyone's said this before, but maybe we put Crystal Dunn in the midfield and then you could use her there. Yeah, it's, I think we have the speed. I just don't know what we're doing there. And maybe this is just when we found that out. And we do have better solutions, and now we know to deploy them.
Yeah, I have little trust in the team seeing flaws even when they like win cup. So like I'm hoping that Emma Hayes was watching and has notes and wants
you
to
think
make...
she wasn't watching. Of course she was watching.
I hope
she
has
that
notes
game 12 times by now.
I hope she has notes, and I hope she will act on them.
Also, speaking of people who are in Paris, so maybe she didn't. I don't know. Maybe she's busy. No, I'm sure she's seen it 12 times. But yeah, I do think there's always going to be spots to work on and working it out. This is the time to work it out before the Olympics. Good time to try stuff out and be wrong. But no, let's try being right.
Yeah, because I mean,
I think
like,
there's
that
only
was
two more camps before the Olympics or something, which is crazy.
Well, that was also a thing with Vlatko and Anofsky, was a lot of the time in his press conferences after the game, he'd be like, yeah, no, it looked really good. It was really great. And you're just kind of like, were we watching the same game?
Was it Blackout?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was always fun.
Yeah.
I love being gaslit by U.S. soccer.
So that's kind of where my my unease comes from. But speaking of uneasy, Corbin Albert, Corbin Albert, if you have been living under a rock, came under fire for having a lot of pro-transphobic material on her.
I think you can just say transphobic.
No, but like the way she was promoting it was like pro-transphobic.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where I'm going. And like the US the Federation made a statement, the Lindsey Horan and Alex Morgan had said in their media availability, it's like, you know, this is not who we are, this is not what we represent. The Players Association also kind of went in that direction. And the thing I have a hard time with is that I have a really hard time believing that there are any kind of consequences for her actions. The sense I was getting from it was kind of a lot of the listening and learning, a lot of listening and learning. And I would like a little more public facing accountability for her, especially when the U.S. soccer just wants to be like, yes, we celebrate our LGBTQ community, we welcome you, but we also have this bigot who's been openly harmful to the community. I think.
And played in both games.
Yeah. It can't be a privilege to wear the crest, and also you get to do this. Maybe you don't have a place here if you are openly resentful of a community who strongly supports the team. And there's that whole liking the Megan Rapinoe injury post that was just, God, just.
That one to me is harder in a way to justify keeping someone in a team, I'm being honest. Like, guys, I'm gay. Like, don't come at me for not being hard enough on that. Legally, that's a tough area. I definitely don't think she should have played. It bothers me that she played when, like, we also had Lily Johannes there and we didn't get to see her play.
Yeah.
So, like, give me something. I agree that there needs to be some more public-facing accountability. So, sitting those games out would have been, like, you've been benched for these two games. I would have taken that, honestly. That would have been, here is a public whatever, and also we are doing this stuff behind the scenes, and I very much believe that locker room is extremely uncomfortable for her right now. That said, liking a post about another player getting injured, who is potentially your teammate at that point, right? Like, mm-hmm. You're competing to be a teammate with that one, as far as you know. Even if it's someone on another team, that's horrific behavior to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you justify that one about anything. As a professional athlete, you should be especially aware of the impact that injuries have on careers, and people. Like, they can end your livelihood. And so having someone who is wishing harm or celebrating that kind of harm for both the queer community and fellow players just seems very, there's a lot to be talked about and worked on there, and the lack of, to your point, public facing accountability does make it feel like maybe we're not hitting this nail hard enough on the head. As far as, like, just talking about this isn't gonna do it. That's not enough for me.
Yeah, I really wish that we saw something of substance, and you know, we're gonna be kept waiting, and the next camp and call-ups are gonna be in June during Pride Month, so I think
Woohoo!
there's gonna be that I mean that's gonna cut deep. Like you're gonna call her up in the middle of Pride Month, fuck you.
Yeah. We're not gonna forget.
We're not
Just
gonna forget. The boos rain down heartily, and they will continue until we see something.
they were kind of questionable the first game, and I think US Soccer was accused of trying to like sneak her on.
Yeah.
And so the second game, they were extra loud, and that
Yep.
was kind of funny to me. If it was like, oh, you didn't hear us the first time? Okay, we'll make sure on the broadcast you hear it this time. All that said, it was an interesting cup. I do think it's kind of a silly tournament, personally.
Oh,
Like
yes.
it's just like it's a weird one to get like a whole trophy and a medal for. It's only emphasized by like Emily Sonnet and being like, Sonnet, this is your seventh She Believes Cup, or you know, you're the winningest She Believes, whatever. Like, and
Okay.
she's like, I am? Like, okay. Like, it only hits the nail on the head. So my question for you, what does she believe?
You know, she believes in a lot of things. She believes in inspiration. She believes in dreams. She believes in the laughter and screams of children in the stands
Whoa, that
during a
one's loud.
match.
It's so loud.
But she believes that this is still a bit of a rebuild that we haven't quite figured out.
You're not having as much fun with this. I want she to believe that, like, I don't know, all VAR things should be in coolers, and when they're not, we all get let down.
No, she believes that there's no VAR and that very soft penalties get called instead in
Yeah,
the 80
that
something
was
minute.
upsetting. She believes the refereeing is very inconsistent at all levels, and I don't know what to do. It seems to be getting worse. She believes the refereeing is getting worse.
No, she believes that CONCACAF belongs in every conversation, even when it's not a CONCACAF tournament, and for that, we are inspired.
She believes in Emily Sonnet creating a new satellite that is now orbiting the Earth. By sending a ball so far over the goal on a penalty that is just, it happens sometimes, so I'm not gonna, but it was funny.
Yeah, she believes in penalty kick practice in general.
He believes in keeping your head down, bud.
She believes we've been working on other things, and we just haven't had time to take good penalties.
She
She believes
believes.
it's hard to be a woman. You can't be everything. You can't
You
be
can't.
the coolest and the best and the hottest and take the best penalty kicks. It's asking too
Unless you're
much.
Alyssa Nair,
Unless you're Alyssa Nair, then you're a stone
and
cold
then
killer.
you are, and then you're fine.
What I don't get is like every time she does this, it it inevitably comes back in the post game media when she's available because she's captain, she's a champ. But she's always like, yeah, no, I'm not the one who should be taking these.
She
There's
doesn't want to do it.
She doesn't want to, and yet here she is.
And she's not bad at it, but like that shouldn't be who you're. And I'll get to it. I'll get to it.
It's like
Okay,
the grizzled
broader
the
check.
yeah broader check-in, some really good stuff I think from the US when we got to see like movement. There was a bit of suffer ball for a while, especially in that championship game where it was just like what w where's the excitement? Where's the fun? And then we get Mel Swanson and Jaden Shaw and Trini Rodman playing, and you're just like, oh, okay, there it
Jaden
is.
Shaw is her. I love her.
Man, what a whiff not taking her to the World Cup. We fucked up on that one hard. it's almost as if bringing the youths in earlier would have some consequences.
Yeah. I love her just on account of, like, she scores and she has done so prolifically, breaking records, but also she sets players up. She creates opportunities better than maybe anyone has at a 10 up to this point. And we desperately needed a player like that. If we could clone her, that would be cool. I hope someone's working on that. But it's I'm very excited to continue to watch her play.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good time. And I think we did see a few things that were tried tactically that were fun. Jaden Shaw was in that 10 spot and making opportunities, and that was something sorely needed. And also Lindsey Horan was shifted further back, which I think was also helpful because look, if I am on the other team and I have the ball, I don't want to be looking at Lindsey Horan. She's going to get me.
Yeah. Like, she's skillful. Don't get us wrong. Like, Horan is a tank, first of all. She's got foot skills. She can distribute the ball well from the middle, which I do think means having her further back a little bit gives her a little bit more visibility to play, like, a long ball to the side. It also means we're not relying on her to be quick.
Yeah.
To get up ahead. And we have other people who can do that. People with younger legs than all of us. There's also, man, I don't know what it is, but there are a few times where, like, Horan gets the ball in the box at her feet and she cannot put her foot through it and get a shot off. And I don't know what it is. I need someone to explain it to me. I need her to, I'm sure she's extremely frustrated by it, but I'm just like, dude, put it in the goal.
Like, listen, Lindsey Horan, I'm just an unsophisticated American watching the game.
Yeah.
Explain it to me like I'm a child.
What should you have done here? Yeah, okay, so we're all right. Put the ball in the net. But, you know, we got there. The 18-player roster for the Olympics. Where are you making cuts?
It's hard. Like, you look at this roster, and going down from, like, a 23-player roster to an 18-player roster is rude. It is vile. It is...
It's not enough players.
Offensive. It is, why are you making me do this?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like...
It's not... Great.
Like, right off the bat, you're kind of eliminating a goalkeeper. I'm picking two goalies.
And then trying to remember what's happened on Pep. I think there's usually someone who's, like, the reserve.
Yeah.
That is a goalie, and so that's fair.
Yeah, like, but I don't remember what the rules for reserve players are this year, but yeah, I'm taking two keepers. I'm taking Nair. I'm taking Murphy. I expect Alyssa Nair to get most of those minutes. I do think there's a very strong goalkeeper pipeline that needs to be accessed and pruned and cared for, because I don't...
I like it when you put soccer in gardening terms.
We just have to water the seeds a little bit, because Alyssa Nair is not going to be here forever. And
yes, she is.
And, like, defensively, it's kind of like it's that same conversation of are you taking names who have gotten minutes. I don't think the U.S. has done a good job of bringing in new talent and then, like, I don't know, keeping them there. Like, last year we got Carson Pickett called up for two games and was, and they milked every last bit of social media out of her being the first player with a limb difference. But, like, she's also a super talented defender and hasn't really gotten a chance to be in here. I digress. There's still you still and even still, it's a deep pool and you have to make cuts somewhere. And I don't know who gets left home. I think Naomi Girma is a lock. I think there's no universe where she doesn't come in.
No, I think you need her. I think same goes for Crystal Dunn. Like, the thing you need is players who can play multiple positions.
Yeah.
Because if something happens, you need to be able to move those pieces around. I don't remember who said it on the broadcast, but if you're a player in these camps, what you're doing right now is trying to show your versatility. That's why I think Jaden Shaw is a lock, no doubt. I think Mal's a lock. I'm trying to think who else. I think Haran's a lock. Who else? Sam Coffey's a lock for me.
Yeah. That goes back to the midfield and the depth. We kind of just...
I'm just going to scoot around that for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
honestly, like, give me a Christy Mewis in there on the right. Like, that's the kind of energy I want in, like, a wing.
Yeah.
And we don't have enough of those. Those yeah. players are also hard to come by because, you know what? It's exhausting being a wing. Because half the game, the ball's on the other side of the field, and you're just running laps. You're just running up in case it comes up, and you're running back. And you run up, and you're running back. And that sucks. It's not a fun assignment, but
yeah,
it's people who are good at it are really good at it and hard to come by.
Yeah, I keep thinking about, like, call-ups during this cycle that have just kind of gone away. Like, Jalen Howell was supposed to be the wave of the future, and, like, she's doing pretty well for Louisville, but she hasn't gotten into camp for a while. And Savannah DeMello went from being the last man in at the World Cup, and we haven't seen her back since. Like, I worry about Rose Lavelle. I'm worried she's not going to make this roster. That's just a perpetual feeling.
If I'm being honest, I don't know if I'm taking Rose. I want to, but her health is inconsistent.
Yeah, and I think this was the same conversation about her last year, where it was like, of course I want Rose Lavelle if she's healthy, and of course, like, 20 minutes of Rose Lavelle is fantastic, but when you have games that are 2 days apart, and this ringer on the body, like, you can't waste a spot on someone who's not going to be... who can't give you, like, 60 minutes a game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fatigue can't take you out. It's also why I'm curious if we see some of the more experienced players not going. I can't think of who off the top.
I think Alex Morgan would have been a bubble player or left out had Mia Fishel not gotten injured.
I think you're right. I think that's the one that I am hesitant to say because I have a hard time right now seeing that team without her. I think from a leadership perspective, hold on, sorry. I think, it's hard to see this team without her right now. From a leadership perspective, she is that person. She's the captain for me when Haran, like, has, like, she's kind of the upfront one. I almost usually want, you know, one vet in the back, one somewhere in the middle, and one up top, is even just not in a game necessarily, but in the roster.
Yeah.
And she's my vet up top. And something solid there. So I tend to keep her. But it's getting questionable. It's getting questionable for sure.
Yeah, because it's like Trinity Rodman's having a really good time when she's in. Sophia Smith is doing fantastic.
Is fucking great, man. I'm so happy for her. She is thriving.
And I think Lynn Williams is still coming back from an injury. I don't know. Have we seen her for Gotham yet this season? Or has she still been...
I am not the person to ask that question. I've mostly been seeing her on TikTok, if I'm being honest.
I don't think we've seen Lynn Williams yet this season. And I think if she were playing and if she were, like, super fit, it would even more make that case of, like, Alex, get going. Like,
yeah. I think I if I could trade a Lynn Williams for an Alex Morgan, I probably would. And then keep her as the adult with the youths. But I don't think we're there yet. Hopefully soon. I just want everything for Lynn. Anyway. What else we got?
Well, the NWSL, believe it or not, is coming back this weekend.
Yeah, it is, and we're gonna be up past our bedtime tomorrow night.
I don't know who is making the broadcast decisions at ION, but I just want to talk.
We are not built to start a game at 8:30 p.m. in Central Time, guys.
I have recently turned 35.
Look at you go.
I can't be awake and outside at 11 p.m. anymore.
Well, we're going to find out. You're going to be tomorrow. The good news is the dogs will already be asleep.
That's true.
So that'll be good. But yeah, that'll be interesting. We got Angel City visiting us here in Chicago tomorrow. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think Chicago can keep the train going. Ava Cook does this thing where she scores goals on Angel City. I think it's just fun for her, and I love this journey for her. I love her being this heel to Angel City, and I hope it continues.
Yeah, that'd be great. I was just thinking to myself, ooh, I should charge my camera batteries tonight. And I was like, I got all time tomorrow. I get the whole day to prep. I don't have to do any of that today. But yeah, I think Ava always puts on a fun show. I hope that continues. I'm curious to see Angel City in person, because sometimes it's hard for me to follow teams without seeing them, you know, locally and actually being forced to sit and focus on a game, because ADHD is a blast. So I will have more thoughts on Angel City as a team tomorrow for sure. I think it'll be a good game, and it'll be LA-ish weather, which I'm curious to see how that affects things, because it's going to be warm.
I'll take it.
It we're owed those degrees, but it's going to be interesting. Speaking of the West Coast, San Diego did a good.
San Diego doing some good. Alyssa Salter reached out to San Diego Wave to talk about their accessibility. I believe she's kind of a mainstay at their games, and San Diego's kind of been all about the light shows and the fireworks. I think kind of going off what we were talking about with Corbin Albert, like, you can't just be a team who's like, yeah, we care about all of our fans. We have a sensory room available, and that's it. You kind of have to put in the effort. And Alyssa details the effort that San Diego is going through now that this has been brought to their attention. They kudos to them for seeing the criticism and saying, oh yeah, we can make this different. So now, instead of, like, you're not going to have spontaneous fireworks or light shows, there will be like a detailed timeline of when these things will happen. I think this is a good way of going about change when you see a criticism that might make you be like, what? No.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's no one's response to, you know.
It kind of was Louisville's response to the light show.
Yeah, I will reserve. Louisville's just around the corner from Indiana, so I will reserve my notes there on, you know, people who need special consideration and how, let's say, Midwestern folks often respond to that. You know, the West Coast is kind of known for being a bit more, let's say, liberal and open to those things. But I hope that anyone who would get any club who would get, you know, a message like this would take that in hand and then do, what can we do about this? Or how can we change things? I think one thing that's interesting for Alyssa is she has a service dog. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, when I saw we were doing Bark at the Park this year for Chicago, I was a bit like, oh, I hope they thought about that with like fireworks and lights and stuff, because that is the headline I can imagine is a game where we Bark at the Park and also fireworks and hell breaks loose is like the joke that women's soccer doesn't need, but would also probably outline how understaffed everything is. So anyway, the point is, I love any club that hears something like this, hears this kind of feedback, and then takes it, responds appropriately, seemingly did their research too on like what they could do to be accommodating. Alyssa seemed pretty satisfied with it, or appreciative at the very least. And yeah, I'm really happy that happened and that went that way. And hopefully we continue to see that trend across the league. Because guess what? Daytime fireworks, too, are stupid.
Stupid. Doing
fireworks in the middle of the day, stop it.
Yeah.
You can't see them anyway.
Yeah, you're doing it for the noise at that point, and it's not fun.
Also, you know what's not fun about fireworks? The noise.
No.
If fireworks were silent, I'd be all in. But, like, I since I was a kid, I didn't like fireworks. They always made my stomach hurt. I don't know. Like, just the rumbly, the sound, it always made, I didn't like it. They're beautiful.
Gorgeous.
At night
when you can see them.
Yeah, but yeah. Also, I just don't need it. Like, please, clubs, put your money somewhere else. I don't need you to spend it on fireworks.
Yeah, you're not the Department of Defense. You don't need to buy explosives. We don't need this.
No, I know a guy, Larry. He's down the street. He's got a bar, and you buy him for, you know, 30 fireworks for $5. Like,
yeah.
Go to him, if anything.
So give him 10 more bucks, and his kid will run the show for you.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring a wagon out. It'll be great.
It's good. Listen to your fans. It's fun. It's nice. Speaking of things that are not nice, anything to take to the trash real quick?
I have a few.
Okay.
I'm going to give you a couple.
Speak your mind.
The first one is there's supposed to be an internet breaking transfer portal announcement for women's basketball. I heard about this on Wednesday. I still have not heard anything. I am annoyed because now I can't think about anything else.
Yeah.
I'm sure the news is breaking as I talk about this, or will be as soon as we're done recording, just to be a pain in the butt.
Yeah. If you have news, break the news.
Break the news. This is that, like, I've seen like 12 different people being like, ooh, you guys are going to go crazy. And I'm like, just tell me then.
Tell me what it is. I can't
do this teasing. Yeah. Even Aaliyah Boston was like, hey, can someone tell me? I'm trying to be in the loop. And so, like, I know it's not like everyone. It's mostly folks who work as agents or, you know, are kind of on the inside there that are aware of things. But man,
just break the news.
Just break the news.
We don't need secrets.
Taking out the trash. The real one, though, for me is penalties.
Okay. Ooh.
I got feelings about it. So I do need to look up some stats on this because I didn't. I took the dogs outside instead. But I think the prevalence of penalties has significantly increased over time. I think Alex Morgan is going to be my model for this to work off of how many penalties she's taken over her career as a forward, and how that's increased year over year. They are just so much more frequent than they ever were before. Part of that is games going into extra time more often. I don't VAR. Know why we can't just end a game, VAR. And then we get things like this Canada penalty at the She Believes Cup that is the softest penalty I've ever seen at a national level.
So, 10 ply. So soft.
In my life. The softest, super soft birthday party soft. It is. And it led to extra, not extra time, but like
more penalties.
A tie at the end of the game and more penalties. Let's just end the game. VAR is part of it. I don't know what the specific shift is that changed this. We shouldn't be taking this many penalties. Penalties have way too much impact on the results of games as opposed to goals scored during the run of play. I don't know how we fix this, so this is not a helpful rant at this point, but it's got to change.
Well, if I could guide you a little bit, is it reasonable to want or expect players to take better penalties than what we saw in this tournament?
Yes, absolutely. And you would think with the increase in frequency and penalties, players would be getting better at them. But guess what? They seem to be getting worse. I think it was Japan's penalties versus Brazil. There were a couple in there that were some of the worst penalties I've ever seen at a senior level. They were soft. Like, they were like, just tap it in type energy. And I don't know what happened.
I was turning into one of those guys who was like, I think I could stop that. Yeah. And I'm not a mobile person.
You were a goalie, though, at least at some point in your life. And you dealt with hockey pucks, which move a lot faster than that ball was moving. I swear the ball might have rolled three times in that. Like, it just didn't even go. It was so slow. But yeah, you'd think we'd be seeing better penalties, and we're not. So, first of all, fewer penalties across the board. I used to be a person who games would end in penalties, and everyone else is like, oh, I hate penalties. I'd be like, I love it. The suspense, great, perfect. It's exciting. I'm getting tired of them. It kind of broke me at the World Cup, reasonably.
I can't imagine why.
But I haven't recovered, and usually I think I'd recover by now, but I think it's because we just keep getting more games ending in penalties. Secondly, if we're doing this many penalties, I need everyone to go practice. I have seen way too many penalties that are in, let's say you divide the goal into fifths vertically.
Well, like a free throw line at the end of a basketball practice. You gotta make your penalties before you get to go home.
Yeah, hold on, let me finish my thought. there are way too many penalties falling within a savable range. You should be hitting side netting or a corner, especially if you're not doing something fancy with your run-up. Don't get me started on fancy run-ups. It's a different rant. You don't need them. Just bury the ball, guys. Put it side netting. Do it confidently and be done with it. Penalties are not a time to be fancy and silly. Just put it away. It's a simple shot. You're 12 yards out. The goalie is not supposed to save it unless you're a listener, and then you are supposed to save it, and you're amazing. But the fact that a listener is one of our best penalty takers right now is a problem. That should be seen as a problem. Any player on
two tournaments in a row
should be able to bury a ball on side netting from 12 yards out. Anyone, defenders, forwards, midfielders, all of them should be able to. And I'm not seeing it, and I don't know what's happening. I need everyone to go practice, to your point. Like, we used to do that of last man standing. Like, whoever's the last one to miss a penalty wins. Like, that was the way we ended practice going into tournaments, right? I don't know how we make it fun, guys, but all of you should be taking penalties every day of the week. Like, until these get better. Because right now, they're not good. They're not good. And it's bad enough you're making me watch this many penalties, but this many bad penalties, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind.
If I have to stay up late.
Yeah, past my bedtime. If Alyssa Nair's your number three penalty taker, she doesn't want to be, and arguably, she shouldn't be. She should be focused on saving goals, not on scoring. Like, that's not her job here. You guys are asking too much of her. Stop it. Let her do the goal saving. It's very impressive when she does both. I don't want her to be in that position. I don't need her to be in that position. Stop asking that of her. And everyone else, pick up the goddamn slack. That's it. Do your job. Make the free throws. Granny shot. Whatever it is, do it. I'd go take five penalties right now, and I would bet most of them would be better than what we saw in the She Believes Cup, and I haven't shot a ball in over a year at least. So go, please. Please? Please.
let's go somewhere happier.
Okay, thank you.
This week in sportsmanship, Don Staley was asked a question by a reporter from Outkick, which is basically the Fox News version of sports. I believe owned by Fox now. This guy was pretty much all weekend just asking questions about like the anthems and what teams were doing and Easter, and he decided the best time to do this, by the way, was right before the final. He asked her, full quote, "You just talked about what a massive weekend this is for women's basketball, women's sports in general. One of the major issues facing women's sports now is the debate, discussion, topic about transgender athletes, biological males, and women's sports. I was wondering if you could tell me your position on that issue." John Staley took a big sip and a bit of a sigh. It was just like, damn, you got me deep, didn't you? I am on the opinion of, if you're a woman, you should play. If you consider yourself a woman and you want to play sports or vice versa, you should be able to play. That's my opinion. You want me to go deeper? And he says, do you think transgender women should be able to participate? So that's the question you want to ask. I'll give you that. Yes. Yes. So now the Barnstormer people are going to flood my timeline and be a distraction to me on one of the biggest days of our game. And I'm okay with that. I really am. To take that stand and to speak in support of transgender athletes on what is the biggest stage for her sports is remarkable. And like Lisa Bluter was asked the same question, and she put it to the side and said, we're not talking about that this weekend. So to have one of the biggest personalities in the sport, the biggest names, the winningest people left in the tournament to be making that statement, I think is it is fantastic, and it is what is needed, especially now with the amount of transphobia just running rampant and for no good reason. No one's trying to take your job. No one's trying to take your spot. Folks just want to be themselves and play with their friends. That is all it is.
Yeah. And I talked a little bit last week about, you know, Dawn's comments on religion, and there was definitely a lot of that during the final. This is the reason, though, this kind of response and her long-term support for her players. Like,
yeah.
I have no doubt that if Dawn had a trans player playing for her, to treat them no different than the way she treats her cis players. But I think to be a Black woman on this stage with the record of success she has had, to stand up for this community and do it the day before the biggest game and call out the fact that this guy's clearly fishing for drama.
Yeah.
Which I respect the hell out of. Like, damn it, Dawn, you're a real one. And thank you. That is a huge, huge thing to take on. Like, it creates noise.
Yeah.
Especially that day. And noise you didn't need, if we're all being honest. Like, it's a loud day to begin with, so I hope it all kind of got lost in everything else, but that was putting a community that needs support above where you're at that moment, and that's what we need more from folks like Dawn. But yeah, Dawn's the realist. What a real one. Sportsman of the week.
Absolute fantastic sportsmanship, and something we need so much more of right now. Like, I don't know if we've had enough support just across sports.
No, we haven't. Clearly, we haven't.
on that happy and wonderful note, I think that's it for this week. You got anything else? I'm good.
I'm good. I think I've... Unless you want me to talk about penalties again, I still got more in that bag.
I'm good.
Oh no! I hear the doorbell ringing.
Yeah, I think the dogs want you.
Dear God, this parachute is a knapsack. No, that's it. That's all. Have a good week, folks. Have a good weekend.
Thank you as always.
NW selling. See you in After Dark in Chicago, I guess.
Yeah, see you at 3 a.m. in Chicago when the game kicks off. Thank you, as always, for listening to Football is Wife. If you like what you're hearing, leave us a review. Give us those ratings. Let us know what you think. We love feedback.
Tell us how you think we should fix penalty.
We will take all suggestions. And until next week, I'm Leslie Ryder, and that's my wife, Emily Anderson.
That's me.
We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.